I want to bring you another message of the gospel. It has been a while since I've been here, and I ask you to listen carefully and to pay really good attention. Okay? I want to bring you the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the title of his message is in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 3, Ask What I Should Give You. And so the Almighty God is asking us to ask him what he will give us. He's commanding us to ask him to be gracious unto you and I. That is the gospel. But I want to start in the book of 1 Kings in number 2 with a very simple statement. The eternal God is a rewarder of the righteous. He's a rewarder of the people who obey him. And so as I travel about and I'm on the streets in the morning and I'm walking, I hear people preaching, but they're not preaching the gospel of God's grace. They're preaching works, and they're preaching religious rules, and they are preaching condemnation. But the true preaching of the gospel is to preach a God that is gracious towards sinners. He knows that we don't have anything to do that can please him except to believe him. There is no strength, there is no righteousness, there is no power that we have to please God apart from true faith in Christ Jesus. He pleased God on behalf of all who please God by trusting him. If you look to Christ, you will be pleasing unto God. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, he did everything necessary to please God. And so we who obey him by believing the gospel, is we are now pleasing in God's sight. And we are forgiven of our sins. And we are made righteous by faith in Christ alone. Huh? I see you hear my accent, huh? But listen unto my words. And this is illustrated in the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 2, verse number 34 and verse number 35. It was a man named Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. And he went up and struck down Joab and put him to death. Now, Joab, he was the servant of King David. He was King David's his general, but he did not do what King David wanted him to do. He was a murderer. And he was a cruel man who had no forgiveness. He had no grace in the gospel to treat other people properly. And so judgment came back to get him, as it will me and you. But Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, he went as commanded and struck down Joab and put him to death. That's the vengeance of God that is going to come on those who do not believe in the gospel. And then Joab was buried at his house in the wilderness. And then look what happens. It's the king appointed Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, in Joab's place and he appointed Zadok, a priest, in Abiathar's place. Here's my point. If we do what God says do, he will forgive us of our sins. He will reward us with an everlasting righteousness. And the thing that God has told us to do is to repent and to believe on his Son. He's told us all to humble ourselves in the sight of Almighty God. That's what the gospel teaches us. It's to humble ourselves. It is not to be haughty and proud. It is not to be a big shot in the sight of God. There are no big shots in the sight of God except our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what me and you are to do is to humble ourselves and come to God for more graciousness. This is what it says in the book of James 4. But he gives more grace. And so even though you and I are sinners unto the core, even though you and I are as filthy as a human being can be, and as sinful as possible, and we have broken all of God's laws, not just one or two, even though that is the case, that we are adulterers and murderers and thieves and haters of God and haters of one another, he still says he giveth more grace. That's the gospel. It's that God is gracious unto sinners who are caught red-handed and guilty, who cannot do anything else of their own to forgive or to cleanse their sin. He forgives people who have nothing to give him, who have nothing to pay, who cannot obey, who cannot do righteousness. That's the kind of people that God forgives. A sinner. He gives more grace. That is the solution unto our problem. It's the grace of God. It's not in ourselves. It's not in our strength. It's not in our righteousness. It's in God's grace and God's favor through our Lord Jesus Christ, which is freely given to all who repent and believe. It's the grace of God, sir, that saves your soul. But here's how we get grace. And so therefore he says that God resists the proud. He will not deal with the proud. He will not tolerate the proud and pride. He will not have mercy on someone proud. But when he humbles us and when he brings us down to take his grace as a lowly sinner, as somebody who cannot help himself to stop from sinning, as somebody who cannot do righteousness, who cannot do good, who cannot please God, that's the person that pleases God by faith in his grace that's in Christ Jesus. Can you hear me, sir? It's the sinner. It's the person who can't. It's the person who is unable, that humbles himself. He resists all of the proud, but the person who humbles himself and says, I'm unable, but I'm trusting you, he gives grace unto that chosen sinner. That's the gift of God. Thank you. That is everlasting life and everlasting righteousness. He gives more grace unto the humble. And that's why the scripture says in Hebrews 11 that without faith it is impossible to please God. And I'll refer to this later probably.
For the one who draws near to him must believe that he is, he exists as God. And he's a rewarder of the who seek him. So, just as God
went through our brother Solomon, and he rewarded Jeremiah, even so God will reward those who humble ourselves in his sight. And he will give us grace to live, and he will give us grace to obey his gospel. He will give us grace to walk in love. He will give us grace to persevere unto the finish line. He'll give us grace unto meet him in heaven. He will give us grace to overcome our lust and our conditions. He will give us grace to change and to be what is pleasing in his sight. That is the gospel. That's the hope of every man. So repent and believe it. Stop trusting yourself and trust in Christ. Humble yourself and he will receive you. So here is point number two. Point number two is that even though he and you are sinners, he still blesses us. As you see, King Solomon, he did not have perfect faith, oh. He was still a sinner even while he believed God. And so when God came unto King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter number 3, he did not find him or us doing perfectly. I do not preach perfectly. I do not pray perfectly. I do not live perfectly. I do not think perfectly. But he still blesses me for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And you too, sir. Christ is the reason that God makes us acceptable. He is the reason why God blesses us. And so even though I have a lot of unbelief, if I touch Christ by faith, I'm received and I'm not rejected. Even though I have a lot of unbelief and sin, I'm not even rejected still. I can still stand here by the grace of a sovereign God. I can still get up and go preach the gospel because he blesses me in spite of all of my sin. This is not a gospel of human perfection. It's the grace of God through Jesus Christ upon our poor souls. And he loves us and he blesses us freely, even though we do not deserve it, for Jesus Christ's sake. That's the gospel. And that's hope for every man and every sinner and every worm on planet Earth. Listen to what the scripture says in 1 Kings 3. Verse number 1 through 3. It says, Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That's sin. I married Pharaoh's daughter. That's sin. And Solomon brought her to live in the city of David. He defiled himself with women at the very beginning of his ministry as king. And this is until he finished temple and the wall surrounding Jerusalem. But the Almighty God, he still used Solomon. If the Almighty God is looking for a perfect man, he can only find Christ Jesus. Everybody else is a sinner, even though he blesses us. That's gospel. Look what it says here, verse 2. However, the people were still sacrificing on the high places. That was forbidden. Because until that time, a temple for the Lord's name had not been built. In verse number 3, it says that Solomon loved the Lord. He did have faith in Christ. He did believe his gospel. He did love God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and he obeyed God in the gospel, and he put his faith in Christ as he was promised by walking in the statutes of his father David. But he also sacrificed, he also sinned, he also disobeyed God, and he burned incense on the high places. This is where God found him. It's because man at his best state is altogether vanity. The most obedient Christian in the world is so disobedient that God would curse and destroy him if he was not seen and viewed in Christ Jesus, and if God was not just gracious. Oh, I guess I could cry out to you. He's gracious to the sinner like you and me, even though we believe the gospel. That's hope for me. That's the reason I'm not crushed. That's the reason I haven't lost hope. That's the reason I woke up this morning so happy. And yesterday, in spite of all my sin, brother, he's faithful to me. If he does, he convicts us of sin. He warns us. He reproves us. He chastises us with stripes. But he doesn't take away his love. And he overlooks our transgressions. He pardons us. He uses us. He puts us in the ministry. And he blesses us, even though we are wrong and we are not perfect, for Christ's sake. And so how about you? Ask God to be gracious unto you. Ask God to be gracious unto you. And believe his gospel in spite of all your sins, sir. Don't try to be perfect. But come to him through his perfect son. And let him change you. And let him bless you. And let him give you strength. That's the gospel. Here's point number 3. It's a longer point. Point number 3 is that when God blesses us with wisdom, that's what King Solomon wanted. Is he wanted to be wise. The end result of that is that we love other people. And so he blesses us because we are ignorant with wisdom. That's the key of being wise. That's the key of actually gaining wisdom, is to admit I don't have any wisdom. That's the key of gaining strength with God like Samson, is to admit, Lord God, I need your strength. It was very interesting to me today as I read this portion, how King Solomon, who would be the wisest man in the history of the world, there was no man like him except Christ Jesus, how this man, this great king, would come before God and say, I'm ignorant, and I'm a child, and I can't do this, and it's too big for me. That's how we get strong in the power of the Lord. I'm weak. I'm helpless. That's how we get to be righteous. I'm sinful. I'm vile. That's how we get obedience. I can't obey. Look what the scripture says. And this is gospel that delights my soul because it's good news for poor sinners and for rebels like you and me. This is what we need, brother. Hope in God's grace. But verse number 4, it's the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, even though it was wrong. It's because it was the most famous high place. And he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar at Gibeon. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon right there in a dream at night. And God said, ask what I should give you. If any man lack wisdom, ask of God. And verse 6, and Solomon replied, you have shown great and faithful love to your servant just by appearing unto me, just by forgiving all of my sin, just by accepting me through our Lord Jesus Christ. And unto my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in integrity. You blessed him and rewarded him. And you have continued this great and faithful love for him by giving him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. Lord my God, you have now made your servant king in my father David's place. Yet I am just a youth with no experience in leadership. I'm helpless. Your servant is among your people. You have chosen a people too numerous to be numbered or counted. This job is too big for me, So give your servant an obedient heart to judge your people, to do your will. But this is actually for your glory, Almighty God, is that I may obey you and I may honor you in the gospel. And to discern between good and evil, for who is able, I can't do it, he's saying, to judge this great people of yours. As the scripture says in the book of James, chapter number 1, and I really hope that your people will cry out, that you don't just hear the preaching, but you cry out unto God and you connect with him. You call upon him in the secret parts of your heart. You call upon him because he's able to hear you through our Lord Jesus Christ and by faith in him, not in ourselves. And so James, he tells us this. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God. He should not be ashamed. He should not be discouraged. He should not think that If happy Almighty God is angry at him, and he won't hear him, and he won't receive him, who gives to all generously, each and every person who comes to him for wisdom by faith in Christ is heard by God. That's how I got my wisdom. And without criticizing, without shaming you for your unbelief and ignorance, and it will be given unto him. So any young man here can ask wisdom, and he can get it from God. And oh, how I wish I had asked for more wisdom as a younger man, and how to honor God, and how to live by the gospel, how to bring him glory in the preaching and not myself. That's the gospel that God is able to change you. That's the gospel. And so you ask him, and he'll give you help. But back to 1 Kings 3, and I'm almost done, so I want you to listen and to pay close attention. It's a lot of distractions, it's a lot of embarrassment, but take heed now. And I have I have some books here after we're done. I have three free books for people who want them and for people who take heed. And so I'll be done in just a couple minutes, sir. But in verse number 10, it says this: "How it pleased the Lord that Solomon had requested this." And so God said to him, "Because you have requested this, and did not ask for long life or riches for yourself," that doctrine needs to be taught in Nigeria, "or the death of your enemies," that doctrine needs to be taught here too, "but you ask discernment for yourself to understand justice." If you ask for wisdom to get to know God, "I will therefore do what you have asked, and I will give you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has never been anyone like you before, and there never will be again." What is wisdom? Paul says that all the treasures of wisdom and understanding are hidden in Christ Jesus. If you want to know God, and you want to know God's Son, you ask him, and he will show himself unto you. And this wisdom that's in Christ Jesus, all of it, it is two things. It's completeness in Christ. I'm totally accepted by Christ because of Christ, and I could not get any more accepted if I tried 100,000 years. I'm as accepted as I'll ever get right now, through and by faith in Christ. And the other aspect of this wisdom, my sister, is to love people. That's the whole counsel of God. He wants us to be wise by trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ and by loving others, by dealing graciously and kindly, and by being forgiving, and by being helpful, and by being merciful, and by treating other people how God treats us. That's the gospel. And me and you, we do truly treat people how we think that God is treating us. And if a man is gracious and kind, it's because he believes that God is gracious and kind towards him all the time. That's the gospel secret. Ask God. He'll give it. says, verse 13, I will give you what you did not ask for, both riches and honor, so that no man in any kingdom will be your equal during your entire life. If you get the wisdom that's in Christ, you get it all. He that has Christ cannot lose. Everything he has is in him. He can lose stuff, but he cannot lose his soul or his chief possessions. It's hidden with Christ in God. If you walk in my ways and keep my statutes, if you believe my gospel and commands, just as your father David did, I will give you long life. I will let you enjoy life if you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I will give you the benefits of believing the gospel. But then verse number 15. Then Solomon woke up and he realized it had been a dream. It was the Almighty God who spoke to him. He went to Jerusalem. He stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. It's now that King Solomon is in the right place. It's now, after he's asked for wisdom and he got it from God, he went back to Jerusalem. That's where he should have been worshiping God properly in the first place. That's what wisdom does to you. It teaches you and me how to obey. It teaches us how to honor God. So he worshipped at Jerusalem, and he offered burnt offerings as forgiveness of sins and acceptance with God, and peace offerings, the fellowship offerings of being at peace with God and having the joy of his presence. Then it says he held a feast for all his servants. Here is a result of God giving Solomon wisdom. He loved other people. And if you ever give wisdom, my little friend, the small girl here, and you, my sister, and me, if I've got the true wisdom of God, it makes me peaceable towards other people. That's the book of James. As it says in chapter 3, that there's a wisdom that's from above, and there's a wisdom that's from the devil. And the wisdom that's from the devil is the same gospel, but it's in the flesh. But the wisdom that's from above is the gospel in the power of the Spirit, and its fruit is righteousness, as the gospel is preached in peace from a heart that's at peace with God. True wisdom is in our conduct. And I don't have, the noise is high here. And I may never be able to come back here and preach. If the noise is high, because I just can't. But every Saturday at 10 o'clock in my flat is a Bible study. It's a free breakfast of eggs and Indomie. And we open up the Word of God, and we go verse by verse in the context of Scripture. Well, let me tell you this. That's about this true wisdom. It's on my heart, and I don't want to pass it up. Listen to what it says in the book of James, chapter number 3. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure. It's a pure gospel that gives God all the glory. And then it's peaceable inside of our soul, and it's peace that's actually from and with God. And it is gentle. It's compliant. It's full of mercy and good fruits. Not only is God showing us these things, but now me and you are showing these things unto other people. It's without favoritism. It's without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness, if you want to do good works, if you want to help other people to actually do good works, is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so what the Lord God is saying is that if you want a ministry that is blessed with fruit, is you have to be at peace with people. As you minister his gospel, because you've got peace inside your heart. So if you want to help people unto knowing God, you have to love them. And this is something I'm learning as I learn the true gospel. It's to be more loving as I preach. It's to be more loving as I deal with people. It's to be more holy in my life. It's to marry my doctrine with my conduct and my behavior. That is the true wisdom from God. And so as you see me as I go up and down these streets, stop me if you want to talk about the gospel. And the Lord God has brought me a long way here. And I hope it's not for condemnation. I hope it is for blessing. But you're going to have to repent and believe the gospel. If you want a free book, I've got 3 books. And you come take, and I will give, or the brother who will give. But every Saturday, 10 o'clock, as long as I'm in Shomolu. After the virus is ended, I'm going to be traveling much. But if I'm here, it's a free breakfast, and it's a free message of the gospel. You can leave your money at home. You can come to hear the gospel that will save your everlasting soul. If I can be helpful to you, please let me know.